Shalom, and thank you for listening at BethEmmanuel.org. We rely on the generosity of our listeners to sustain this ministry and the message of Messianic Judaism for all nations. Please consider making a donation to Beth Emmanuel by clicking on the Donate tab at BethEmmanuel.org.
We've come through the 3 weeks at last and emerged into the consolation of God. We now begin 7 weeks of consolations from the book of Isaiah. It's like passing from the sorrow and lamentation of the death of the Messiah into the joy of the resurrection, from exile into redemption. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak kindly to Jerusalem and call out to her that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity has been removed, that she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. And let the rough ground become a plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The Gospels quote this passage from Isaiah in reference to John the Immerser and his ministry of preparing the way for the Messiah. John identified himself as the voice calling in the wilderness, prepare the way. He prepared the way for the kingdom by calling on Israel to repent and be immersed. The Gospel of John says, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea was going out to him, and all the people of Jerusalem, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. The Mikvah Committee asked me to do a teaching on the Mikvah Project, so I thought, I've done that before. It doesn't seem like it was too long ago either. So I looked it up in my archives and found the original teaching with which I introduced the campaign to raise funds for the creation of a Beth Emmanuel mikveh. It was 2007, 13 years ago. I guess you could say that the mikveh project is now a bar mitzvah. When I originally proposed the project, I imagined it might take a long time to accomplish. I imagined 5 years or so. It's been 13 years. During that period of time, we have raised a substantial amount of money toward the project, but not as much as we will need to bring it to completion. Since it's been 13 years since we last discussed the subject, a little bit of review is in order. The word mikveh is the Hebrew word for a pooling together of water. It refers primarily to a pool used for immersion in purity rituals. In conventional church terminology, we are talking about a Jewish form of a baptismal pool. But don't confuse a mikveh with a baptismal pool. If it was as simple as putting in a baptismal tank, such as they might have in a Baptist church, we would have done it 13 years ago. Nevertheless, it's absolutely correct to make a correlation between the Christian ritual of baptism and the Jewish ritual of ceremonial immersion. In Judaism, as in many other ancient religions, an immersion in living water symbolizes a spiritual renewal, regeneration. Legally speaking, it removes ritual impurity. The Torah prohibits a person in a state of ritual impurity from entering the temple, handling sacred vessels and implements of the sanctuary, conducting the sacred ceremonies of the sanctuary, and from eating any of the holy sacrifices. That's a problem because ritual purity is almost impossible to maintain. A person would need to live in a cave to maintain a state of ritual purity, and even that might not do it. Fortunately, the Torah provides an easy solution to the problem. To obtain a state of ritual purity, a person only needs to immerse. Then after the sunset on that day of immersion, he or she will be considered ritually pure. This immersion ritual was especially relevant to Judaism during the days of the temple, but there was a difficulty. There are no rivers in Jerusalem, and in much of the land of Israel, you will walk a long way before you find a suitable place for immersion. Plus, since the ritual must be performed naked, you want some privacy. In those days, people collected water during the rainy season in enormous underground cisterns. If they did not have access to a spring, a river, or deep well, the water in those cisterns had to suffice them for the whole of the summer, because it does not rain from about Passover until after Sukkot in the land of Israel. But a cistern does not meet the requirement for living water because it is artificially drawn and collected. To solve the problem, the Jewish people created a legal innovation where you could use a small pool of living water to mingle with a larger pool of artificially gathered water and thereby render the whole pool of water fit for ritual purity. In this way, the idea of an artificial mikveh was born. By the days of Yeshua and the apostles, the artificial mikveh was the standard and preferred method. Every Jewish village and community had one. If you were wealthy, you had your own. And in Jerusalem, there were hundreds and hundreds. The artificial mikveh is such a regular feature of a Jewish community that archaeologists use it as the primary means of determining a Jewish presence on a site they're excavating. Today, you can walk around Jerusalem and literally see the remains of these things everywhere. In the days of the apostles, there were several reasons a person would visit the mikveh, and many people made it their rule of religious devotion to immerse themselves daily. But it was required for anyone entering the temple or participating in the sanctuary. So the priests serving in the temple immersed every morning. On Yom Kippur, the high priest immersed 5 times during the course of his ministrations. Pilgrims coming to the festivals in Jerusalem immersed on arrival in preparation for the holy days. And various types of pots and pans and implements that needed to be used in connection with the temple services or holy things also needed to be immersed for purification. With the destruction of the temple, a lot of that became irrelevant, but the mikveh did not go away. There remain several reasons that the Jewish community needed the mikveh, even without the temple. A married woman, after the completion of her monthly cycle, is required to immerse. This is still the case for Jewish women today. Immersion is also the principal ritual to symbolize conversion to become legally Jewish. And one undergoing the conversion ritual is said to die to his or her old identity on entering the water and to be born again into a new identity as a Jewish person on emerging from the water. That's still the case today. It's also an important component of the ceremonial procedures for attending to the dead, a necessity for the Chevra Kedisha. Although it's not required on the level of a mitzvah, many devout Jews try to obtain a near state of ritual purity for the Sabbath and holy days. And among the Chassidim, some holy men immerse daily. So the mikveh is still very much a part of Jewish observance, so much so that the axiom says that when a Jewish community forms, its first priority is the creation of a mikveh. It's even more important than obtaining a Torah scroll. Why? Because the women are required to visit the mikveh. It's not an option. It's required of them. If there is no mikveh available, they must seek out a river or some natural option, and in the winter, break the ice if necessary to immerse. A Jewish wife has no choice in the matter. It's as incumbent upon her as observing the Sabbath or keeping kosher. Does this requirement pertain to Gentile disciples? No, it does not. Not on the level of obligation. According to the legal requirements of Jewish law, ritual purity laws do not pertain to Gentiles at all. This is a matter of logical deduction. Since the ritual purity laws are all rooted in the temple, access to the temple, participation in the sacrifices, and so forth, those laws have no immediate application or relevance to Gentiles who have no access to the temple, participation in the sacrifices, and so forth. So this is another matter of distinction between Jewish and Gentile disciples. Under the rulings of Acts 15, it may be inferred that marital separation during the cycle is required of Gentile disciples on the level of a mitzvah. But immersion after the cycle is not. Why? Because they are two different things entirely. The abstinence during the cycle is a mitzvah within the prohibitions on sexual immorality, which the apostles apply to Gentiles. According to the Torah, failure to observe abstinence during the cycle is one of the abominable things for which the Canaanite nations were punished. This is Leviticus 18. But the ritual immersion at the end of the cycle is a different commandment. This is based on Leviticus 15, where ritual purity laws are discussed. Okay, so if you have questions about this, talk to me directly. I can help you work through the distinction issues and so forth. Despite that exception, there are a lot of reasons that Gentile disciples will benefit from having access to a mikveh. The ceremony of immersion, whether in a real mikveh of living water or an artificial mikveh, is the origin of baptism. When John the Immerser called people to be immersed as a sign of repentance, he was calling upon them to internalize the symbolism of the purity ritual. When the master criticized those who washed the outside of the cup but not the inside of the cup, he had John's teachings in mind. John wanted us to use the mikveh as an outward expression of true repentance, a rebirth, a renewal, a new beginning. Just as immersion into the mikveh brought the removal of ritual impurity, repentance removed spiritual impurity. One who underwent John's immersion renounced sin and selfishness and committed himself or herself to the path of repentance. This idea is in keeping with the Jewish legend that when Adam and Eve sinned and were sent from the garden, Adam immersed himself in the Euphrates River to express his repentance. In some versions of the legend, he did so in the Jordan River, which is where John was immersing. When our master first began teaching, his disciples followed John's example and encouraged people to immerse themselves as a ritual act to symbolize repentance in preparation for the revelation of the Messianic era. And after our master's resurrection from the dead, he told his disciples to immerse new disciples in his name. Henceforth, becoming a follower of the master entailed an immersion into a mikveh. The Greek word for immersion is baptisma, the origin of the English word baptism. The apostles interpreted the ritual to symbolize dying to the old person and the things of this world and being resurrected into the new life in Messiah. Paul says that those who have been baptized into Messiah have died to sin and to self and been raised up, born again into Messiah. One who goes into the water dies with the Messiah, and one who comes up out of the water rises again with the Messiah. The ritual symbolizes our hope in the resurrection. That is the essence of it, as I've described it in the teaching titled, A Concise Theology of Baptism. The apostles also provided some halakhic guidance to the Gentile disciples in the Didache, which we have discussed before. Considering how central baptism is to our faith, it should be obvious that the mikveh is an important component of faith and practice, even to Gentile disciples. And I would go further. Even though ritual purity does not pertain to Gentile disciples on a legal level in Jewish law, it has pertinence on a personal, devotional, and spiritual level. It's not true that Gentiles are not at all subject to the laws of ritual purity. For when a Gentile dies, his corpse is just as defiling as a Jewish corpse. And even Jewish law accounts for various defilements that can be contracted in the domains of Gentiles and so forth. This was a problem for the apostolic community where Jewish and Gentile disciples mixed and ate together. The ritual purity status of the Gentile disciples was the primary concern being addressed in Acts 10 and Acts 15 and Galatians 2. All of that goes to show that even though Jewish law does not account for it, there is ritual purity concern for Gentile disciples. Certainly not on the level of a legal obligation or mitzvah, but on the level of a spiritual reality. And when the Messiah comes, it will be on the level of a legal obligation and mitzvah for anyone going up to Jerusalem, because in that day, even the common cooking pots of Jerusalem will be holy. Yet our burnt offerings and sacrifices will be received on the altar of Hashem, and his house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. This should make it clear that ritual purity and ritual defilement does have meaning for Gentile disciples, and if so, then ritual purification can also have meaning for Gentile disciples. For that reason, I have the personal custom of trying to immerse in the river before Holy Days. It's not usually possible in April before Passover. Some Gentile disciples in the community are even more pious and try to immerse before every Shabbat during the summer. It's also appropriate to immerse for repentance, like John the Immerser instructed us to do. That's a part of New Testament faith and, in my opinion, should be a regular part of our spiritual disciplines for both Jewish and Gentile disciples. I'm also vaguely aware that a few of the Gentile women in the community have taken upon themselves the custom of immersing in the mikveh to mark the end of the cycle. Nothing wrong with that. It's completely appropriate and sanctifying. And in addition to that, it's our custom to require both bride and groom to go through an immersion the night before their wedding. None of these things are an obligation for Gentile disciples on the level of a mitzvah, but all of them are sound and reasonable spiritual practices. However, we do have a biblical obligation when it comes to making new disciples. We have a commandment from the Master to immerse new disciples in His name. That's a mandate from Yeshua. We know from the New Testament and from the Didache that access to the mikveh was a regular part of the faith and practice and religious expression of the first century disciples of Yeshua, both the Jewish and Gentile disciples. When the second and third century church jettisoned Judaism, they lost the context for baptism, and slowly the ceremony evolved into the sacramental form, into infant baptism, and into sprinkling, which is common in most of Christianity today. Even so, you will find that Byzantine-era churches had baptismal tanks, which, for all practical purposes, still looked like the mikveh of the Jewish community. And Orthodox churches today still retain some semblance of that form. From my perspective, restoring the mikveh to the disciples of Jesus is as much a part of the restoration as any other component of our return to the Torah, such as reclaiming the Sabbath, the festivals, and so forth. So there are good reasons that Gentile disciples would benefit from access to a mikveh. We have good reasons. It's something that would be nice to have. It will be a lot more convenient than the St. Croix River or Perch Lake. But for the Jewish members of the community, it's not just a matter of convenience, but necessity. The Jewish women in the community find themselves in the precarious situation of relying upon access to the facilities under the supervision and custodianship of the broader Jewish community, whether in St. Paul, Minneapolis, or St. Louis Park. Not only is that terribly inconvenient, it's also a source of stress and anxiety because of the nature of the relationship between Messianic Judaism and the broader Jewish community. God forbid the privilege of accessing those mikveh facilities should be revoked, and then we would have a real problem here. Then we would be scrambling to find a solution for the Jewish members of the community. So that's why, 13 years ago, I started a campaign to build a Beth Emanuel mikveh, 13 years ago. 13 years ago, I first introduced the campaign to you. I said, the Beth Emanuel mikveh will create a beacon to the entire Messianic world. It will grow this community and provide an example to Messianic Judaism. That's more true today than it was 13 years ago. 13 years ago, I thought, how hard could it be, right? It turned out to be hard. It would have been easy to dig a hole and fill it with water. But we decided from the outset that if we were going to do this, it had to be a kosher mikveh according to the standards of Jewish law. Otherwise, what's the point? In the broader Jewish community, there are rabbis who do nothing but oversee this process. We don't have those guys at our disposal, and if we tried to hire one, he would not be allowed to help us. So we decided to get a do-it-yourself manual. But the technical manual was in Hebrew and needed to be translated. Jacob Honke and Aaron Eby spent years translating the technical manual. It took a long time, a very steep learning curve. We originally imagined we could put the facility here in the building, in the basement, but there's a lot of reasons that doesn't work. There's not sufficient room. There's privacy issues and access issues. The better solution is to create a facility within a dedicated residential or commercial property within the local community. Those are issues that the newly formed Mikvah Committee is looking into now and trying to resolve. This is obviously expensive. You know what it would take to purchase a residential house in this neighborhood or a commercial property. Real estate around here, unfortunately, is not cheap. So we are going to have to pray for a great miracle to accomplish it. But I am asking you as a community to put this back on your radar. We need volunteers to get involved with the Mikvah Committee, and you can do that by contacting Aaron or Angela. And we need people dedicated to pray about this and to ask God for His direction and provision. We need prayers for the opening of doors and the smoothing of ways. There are mountains that need to be moved and valleys that need to be raised up. We need vast sums of money, and we need the community to rally together to see this happen. The Beth Emanuel Mikvah is something I would like to see happen for the sake of the reputation of our Master Yeshua, who told His disciples to immerse all nations in His name, teaching them everything He commanded. It's a symbol of repentance and forgiveness. The ceremony of immersion symbolizes the spiritual cleansing that we obtain in Yeshua when we repent in His name, confess our sins, and seek God's forgiveness. It symbolizes the spiritual purification of the coming Messianic era when it says He will pour out pure water upon us. It symbolizes Yeshua's death and His resurrection. And through immersion, every disciple also enters into that spiritual transaction of dying with Messiah and rising again to new life. It's part of preparing the way for the kingdom, as John the Immerser, the voice in the wilderness, calling out, "Prepare the way for the Lord."
And learn from me and find rest for your soul.